The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you what? He was from Fort Worth, wasn't he? Be with you all. You know what I mean? He was probably a Texan.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello again. We pray that you're having a great day. And on the program today, Pastor Bill begins the final message from his 2 Corinthians series. This final message is entitled, Be Restored. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 13 this morning. We're going to cover all 14 verses. And, you know, as we arrive at this last chapter, I know you know this. I say it every time. But it is so personal. Hasn't it been a personal study for Paul, the Apostle Paul? It's so intimate. His heart is so transparent before us. And who can tell me, why did Paul write 2 Corinthians? Oh, my. The first service, everyone knew. What does that tell us about this service? It was written for the sad purpose because he was forced to defend his apostolic authority, his character, his ministry, all that he was doing because false teachers had entered the church and they were slandering Paul. And matter of fact, the church at Corinth, a major majority here at the very end, they have embraced the false teachers and want nothing to do with Paul the apostle, remember? So Paul's making that incredible plea to them. When we left off last Sunday, remember what Paul told him in 2 Corinthians 12, 15, where he writes to them, he says, I will gladly be spent for you. I'll give you my life. I love you. I want you to get right with God and right with me. He says, but the more abundantly that I love you, the less that I am loved. That's a heartbreaking scripture. And Paul reached out to them, that love that he had. It wasn't Paul's love, but it was Paul, but it was Jesus' love in Paul. Amen? Like I told you last Sunday, it was Romans 5:5 in action, that love that God has shed abroad in our hearts. And that's the love that Paul operated in. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And no doubt that is a true, true word. I pray this morning that this journey, we started in January, that this journey through 2 Corinthians has exposed to your heart the heart of Paul more than any other teaching. It has been a great study for me. I love teaching through 2 Corinthians. You heard me say it every time. I love this book. I love this epistle. You know, and it makes me sad. It always does when I teach through any book of the Bible, but especially this one. It saddens me that it's now going to come to an end, and we're going to go into Galatians or whatnot. And I love Galatians too, but I love Paul. I love his transparency. I love his love for the Lord. Now, this morning, these overlooked scriptures, so many people go through 2 Corinthians, but when they get to chapter 13, they just kind of feel, okay, Paul, you know, you're kind of saying goodbye, and you kind of just skim through it and so forth. It would be a terrible thing to overlook this chapter because these 14 verses, they are actually a divine nugget from the throne of God to our hearts. And boy, what Paul does in these neglected verses that are read quickly by so many, what God does in these verses, in this final plea of Paul, he tells a church that is so destroyed from within how to be restored, how to be right with God again, how to get back to God, and how to bring healing to all of those in the fellowship. Maybe you need restoration this morning. If you do, you need to listen to what God's Word says. As we look through these 14 verses, the title of the sermon this morning is Be Restored. It says, this will be the third time I'm coming to you, Paul says. He says, and by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretell as I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before, meaning those that we studied last week, chapter 12, verse 20 through 21. So those who have sinned before, and look what he says, and to everybody else, to all the other people, the Christians at Corinth, he says that if I come again, I will not spare. Paul loves this church, but now his boasting and all of that is that they forced him to do, it's over. Paul says, I'm coming to Corinth. He quotes Deuteronomy 19:15 about in the mouth of the witnesses, two witnesses, every word will be established. He says, listen, I'm coming to Corinth. I have witnesses. I know those who have sinned and refused to repent or unrepented of their sins. He says, when I come, I will not spare. You know, when you're going to call someone on the carpet, you don't call it because of rumors. Amen. You call them because of facts, and that's what Paul was doing. And then he says, since you seek, meaning the church at Corinth, you seek proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, meaning Jesus is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of the dunamis of God. For we also, we're weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power, again, the dunamis of God toward you. So Paul says, you know what? We're here filled with God. We love God for your benefit. And he says, you want proof of me speaking the truth of Christ? And here you are listening to these false teachers that speak absolutely no truth at all. And he says, you know, I'm weak. That's okay. But you know what Jesus did when Jesus was at his very weakest? Jesus was at his greatest power. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. John 1:29, that's what Jesus did on the cross. And we now who believe in him, he died in our place. When we trust in Christ, we then become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a glorious thing to know. It says in Romans 5:6, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now in verse 5, look what Paul says for this church to do that's so messed up. He says, examine yourselves. That word literally means to prove that you're the real thing. Prove that you're genuine. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith, meaning do you believe the gospel? Do you believe in the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ Jesus? Do you believe in the good news? And then he says something else, test yourselves, and here's what he wants you to test. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is what? In you, unless indeed you are disqualified. In other words, you're a reprobate. You fail the test completely. He says, but I trust that you know that we're not disqualified. Of course, anyone could look at Paul's life and realize that. But he's setting up a standard here about restoration. Now watch what he does. The standard that Paul sets is this. He says, Jesus Christ in you. The Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? That's what he's talking about. He says, do you know, have you examined yourself, tested yourself? Do you know by a growing experience within that you're continuing in the faith? You should ask yourselves, all of us, the same question. He says, do you know by a growing experience through your walk that Jesus Christ is truly living in you, that you are born from above? He says, if you want proof of Christ speaking in me, here's all you have to ask yourself. Are you born again? Are you not born again? Ask yourself another question if you want proof. How in the world were you saved? Who founded the church at Corinth? The Apostle Paul. He says, you were saved through my ministry, you morons. No, I'm just joking. That's what I would have said. You understand? No. He says, now listen, if you are not, examine your heart, test yourself. If you don't believe that I'm speaking the truth in Christ, he says, if you are doubting my apostleship, if you're doubting that Christ is speaking through me to you, then you better doubt your own conversion. Amen? That's what Paul is saying. He said, you know what? You've examined my life. I've been discredited. I've been slandered by the false teachers. You've joined in with them. He said, you better examine your own lives. Paul is basically challenging them. Let me tell you why. He says, remember what he said back in a couple of chapters? He said, you know what? You're the ones that are believing in a different or another Jesus. You're the ones that have a different gospel. You're the ones that are following a different spirit, meaning the spirit of the world. Don't you think you better check out your hearts? In other words, are you Christians? Are you counterfeit Christians? Are you Jesus namers? Are you Jesus followers? Are you still walking in the faith? Is Christ really living in you? Because if he's not, the Bible says this in Romans 8, 9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Doesn't belong to him. That's a powerful word, loved one. Church attendance, well, I go to church. That's a wonderful thing. I belong to, I'm a member of a denomination. Praise the Lord. I teach Sunday school. Right on, you know? That's awesome. But I tithe. Good. Teaching kids church, all those wonderful things. You know, I have daily prayer. Love my Bible. Great. But that doesn't make you a Christian, does it? No. Doesn't make you at all. It says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ in him, he does not belong to Jesus. That's a powerful word, loved one. You have to be born again. So Paul's final appeal to this church that needs complete restoration, he says, examine, test yourselves. He said, if you haven't been transformed, or if you have been transformed, then you need to know, yes, I preached a true gospel. Jesus really is in me. And not only that, you know, he says, I am a true apostle. But if you're going to doubt your calling, then you better, again, doubt your conversion. The Bible tells us this in Lamentations 3:40. It talks about us. It says, let us search out and examine our ways. That's a very good word for us and them. Amen? In other words, God does not justify a person that he does not sanctify. The word sanctify, yes, set apart, mean holy, but it speaks of progress or progression. You see, justification is a one-time act. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. You've been justified before God, just as if you've never sinned when you ask Christ to be your Lord. Sanctification is an ongoing process that we are being changed from glory to glory to glory until we go home. Amen? So we can recognize Christianity, love, when we can do that. See, true Christianity, a true Christian, true salvation, let's put it that way, is recognizable. Because, see, there's an inward change which promotes an outward change. You can see that this person is not the same. They don't act the same. They don't talk the same. Their life is changing. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face are beholding as in a mirror the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And the Bible says, and we are being transformed, present tense, continuous, are being transformed. That word, we get our word metamorphosis, transformed from the inside to the outside into the same image, meaning the same image of Christ. Romans 8, 29, we're being conformed into the image of Christ. And it says from glory to glory to glory, year after year, year after year. And the reason that that is occurring, it says, by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, here's the thing, loved one, is this. If there is not a change, if a Christian calls himself a Christian and there's not an ongoing change, again, glory to glory, that's the adventure, okay? Then Paul says, you know what? You're going to really check yourself out. Talking to the church at Corinth. Talking to us. In other words, you better check yourself out. You might not be born from above, or maybe you're not beholding as in a mirror. In other words, you're not renewing your mind to the Word of God, or you might be just simply stuck. Again, true salvation, when a person is born again, it's recognizable. You know, there's an ongoing change in that person's life. I pray in Jesus' name. You know, the Church of Corinth, a lot like America Church, you understand? I pray in Jesus' name, we are never, never, never like the Corinthians. See, instead of them being, they were born again, yes, carnal and all the rest of it. However, instead of being transformed, they were being conformed to the culture that they lived in. They were being conformed to the false teaching by the false teachers. And yet we learned over in the first chapter of this great epistle that they were enriched in everything in him, meaning in Christ. Paul even told him later, he says, all things are yours. Man, they had everything going for them. They were called into fellowship with Christ Jesus, yet they were out of fellowship with one another. Listen to me now. You know, we're finishing up these first two epistles of Paul of the Corinthians. Man, they were a carnal, worldly, lived like the lost, false teacher loving, division-making Corinthians. That's who they were. They were a disgraced and dirty church. That's a true word. And but you know why? Why were that way? There's only one answer when you see the condition of the church in Corinth. There's only one answer for any Christian in any generation, and that is this. They resisted the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in their lives to take them from glory to glory to glory. How tragic for a church, first century, 21st century, to be stuck on the narrow road that leads to life. Where are you at? Well, I got into the door. What are you doing? I'm stuck. You understand? How tragic to be a believer, but you're stuck in that narrow road that leads to life, and you're not following the Lord any longer. That's what was wrong with the church at Corinth. Listen, loved one, we know that the Bible teaches this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone, no matter who they might be, any nation, any race, any color, any person, if he be in Christ Jesus, he's new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You want a definition of a Christian? New creation. That's all you need to know right there. Now, with all that being said, now look at verse 7. And now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear, that's a very important word, appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, even though we may seem disqualified. So Paul says to this church that needs to be restored and mended and all the rest of that, he says, listen, you do what's right. Even if you do what's right and it makes us look disapproved, I don't care, but I want you to get back with God. And he says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Paul says, I don't have any ability against the truth. I can't change anything. I can't make progress against the truth. Man, that's a very, very important word. No one, I don't care who they are, no one can do anything against the truth of God's word. No one. Now, Paul's not saying that the truth of God cannot be attacked. He's not saying that the truth of God cannot be hindered. He's not saying that the word of God cannot be believed, because there's many people who don't believe or they disagree. I mean, you can ban the Bible. You can burn every church in America. You can burn the Bible. You can publish new versions of the Bible by false teachers or whatever they do. Loved one, listen to me. No one can ever do anything against the truth of God's word. It says in 1 John 2:21, it says this, that no lie is of the truth. Let me read the whole scripture. I've not written to you, John writes, because you do not know the truth, but because you know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. You see, we don't need to go outside of the Bible to find out what is false. Did you know that? We need to know what is true. You know, well, how do you know not to believe a lie? You know what is true. I've told you this many times. You know, I think it's the FBI who does this. I'm not for sure anymore. Could be, you know, who knows, but it doesn't matter. They do not study counterfeit money. They study the real thing. Amen? Because if you know the real thing, you'll know what's counterfeit. Now, let's look at it this way. There is more false teaching that is emerging like a volcano erupting today than the 80s. We were full of false teaching. But now it's almost doubling for some reason in this generation now, in the 21st century. With all that being said, how are you going to know what is true or false if you don't know God's word? You need desperately to know that. No lie is of the truth. I don't care how intelligent it sounds, how appealing it is, or how spectacular, or whatever it might be, or even sensational. Jesus said in John 17:17, Thy word, O God, is truth. The Bible tells us in John 14:27 that the Spirit of truth, He's the one who leads us and guides us, illuminates every page of the Bible if we're truly seeking the Lord and seeking His word to learn it. No, the Holy Spirit will, the Spirit of truth will never lead you in a place where you should not go. Do you understand? Yeah. The Bible tells us that God's word is eternal. It is everlasting. It is absolute. It is unchangeable. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. What does that mean? It means that God's word will outlast everything, every person, the entire universe. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, verse 9, watch this now. For we were glad when we were weak and you were strong. Now, Paul is really, when he says the word pray here, he has been praying. Now, listen, and this also we pray. We've gone to the throne of grace for you guys, that you may be made what? That word means restored, that you may be made restored. In verse 11, it says that you may become complete. In other words, it's time for you guys in Corinth. Stop being carnal. You need to grow up. You need to get right with God. You need to become spiritually mature. So Paul says, you need to be made complete. Now, the word there, restoration, means something that has been damaged. Paul says, be restored. What does that mean? It means that the church at Corinth, like churches even today, they ripped each other up. They tore up the body of Christ. That church is literally disgraced, and it's being destroyed from within, not from without, loved one, from within itself. Complete, that word complete there is used in Galatians 1 as a medical term where it says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one who has sinned, okay? So the word speaks of mending a broken bone. To make that arm work again, to put an arm back in working order or spiritual restoration and so forth. It's used in Matthew 4:21 when Peter and the disciples were mending their torn nets. It's making it new again. And so when we look at this here, when Paul says, be made complete, you know what he's saying? He's saying to this church, you need to mend your ways. You guys have torn this church to pieces. Would you just mend your ways? Will you go to one another? Will you love one another, forgive one another? Just get everything back on track. Paul says, be complete. In other words, be restored to your former position. Not the way you are now, but to your former position. He's saying, get back in the race because you're no longer running the race. Get back on the narrow road. And he's saying, return to the real Jesus. Because remember, the false teachers are teaching another Jesus. Return to the gospel. Return to the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of the world, but to the Holy Spirit. And Paul is also saying something else. Remove the false teachers. Kick them out of your church, man. They're deceitful workers. They belong to the devil. They're only going to lead you astray. They've been slapping you around. Now you get it and slap them out of the church. Amen? I would just say kick them out of the church, you know? Yeah. Do you want false teachers? No. They deserve to be thrown out the door. Yes, they do. I mean, thrown out the door. I have no mercy on a false teacher because they will take a person to hell. Do you understand? Yes. It says in verse 10, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification, not for destruction. So Paul says, I'm coming again. He says, I have authority, don't you understand? But my authority is to strengthen you, to build you up. It's for your edification. I don't want to come and tear you guys apart. I don't want to tear you down at all. The false teachers were doing that. The church itself was tearing each other up as well. And he says, finally, brethren, farewell. I love the Apostle Paul. Even though this church slandered him, agreed with the false teachers, the more that Paul loved them, the less that they loved him, all the sufferings that he went through, you know, he says, you're my brethren. That word means and sisters, brothers and sisters. You're my family, and I love you. And he says, farewell. And that word literally means rejoice. Have joy in your heart. Paul is closing out, and he says, finally, brethren, farewell. And then he uses the same word again. Become complete. Be restored. You have to be restored. He's giving the points on how this church needs to get back, get right with God and right with one another. He says, be restored. He says, be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and the peace will be with you. So Paul says, listen, if the first step in your restoration, if you're going to get right with God and right with one another, he says, if you're going to mend your nets and your lives back together, would you run back to the God of all comfort?
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this broadcast, but no worries. Pastor Bill will conclude today's message on tomorrow's program. So please tune in once again, won't you? We want to thank you for listening with us, and we pray that you have a great day. So long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app.
Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.